We are not waiting for the hub office of the health system to indicate to us the specifically the areas where we need to focus in the tech. I'm told that that document has been released yesterday, but unfortunately I haven't seen it, but I will look at it as soon as I get into the office so that we can see whether it does align with our program properly and so on. Then the other issue that we have not looked at is the tourism month activities. We are suggesting that once the dates are known and confirmed, then we will see how to incorporate those in the program of the committee if we do find time, because September will be a tourism month, so we have to see exactly what the department has on their calendar for that activity month. Then the other thing that is we still want to get some guidance from Parliament is the program for Women's Day in August, and also the program for the People's Assembly in September, because we are told there might be some activities, but unfortunately those activities will be organized by Parliament. So there's really nothing on our side that we can do about it on that aspect. So in a nutshell, Chair, here is what we are proposing to the committee, and we want the committee to look at it and make some proposals, and if not, and then we adopt this one, then we will use this as a guiding program for the committee when we come back from the constituency. Thank you, Dr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Jerry. It's open to the committee. Your suggestions, changes that you may want, and actually the department we're talking about, we are still going to invite them. These are just proposals. So can I get some comments from the committee, Honourable Winfield?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's a welcomed program. It's very comprehensive, and I think it touches on some of the important issues and also aligns itself very well with specifically September with Heritage Month, which is also Tourism Month. I think that's a really powerful combination to get those departments together to have a discussion about the relationship between heritage and tourism. But perhaps what we could do during the third term as well as a committee is set some time aside to go through the heritage strategy itself, so that when we have this discussion on heritage tourism, as a committee we've workshopped or looked at in detail the current heritage tourism strategy. I raised it in the budget speech as an issue of concern to make sure that we've got a coherent and cohesive argument to make to the Department of Arts and Culture. If our department is in line, how we then find the synergy between our strategies and whatever strategies they may have. So it's a suggestion to incorporate in one of our portfolio committee meetings, whether we can set aside half an hour, just to really look at that strategy in detail, find out if it's been implemented through the Department of Tourism effectively, and where those challenges are, so that we can deal with those when we meet with Arts and Culture in September.
Thank you, that's more helpful. Honourable Trombo, Honourable Sovita, Honourable...
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I take the proposal of the program as a good working judgment, which you must consider as a committee, and also consider, and I also propose that as a committee, we consider visiting all provinces by end of financial year, which we have started. Nonetheless, I'm happy that there's also that on the notes, the bullet point 2, which the previous speaker has mentioned, it's so important that we incorporate that towards the activities of the tourism month. Otherwise, I propose that we consider and approve the proposed program of the next term. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay. You remember when you had some of the senior old players from the tourism industry addressing us in Moscow some time ago. We put questions to them as to what they thought the optimal level of funding would be by the department to support tourism in this country by way of the national budget. and they weren't really able to ask the question. More recently, for example, I've also visited KZN Tourism. They get a grant from the provincial legislature, and that grant has decreased in recent years. But again, they're not exactly sure whether in fact it's too little or too much. So bearing that major gap in our knowledge in mind, I wondered whether it wouldn't be a good idea in one of our meetings this year, if we could bring in some kind of economist who is familiar and comfortable with econometric studies on this issue. So someone with some kind of economic training can give us some pointers as to what are the types of criteria that should be used by us in assessing what optimal budget levels of funding should be, both at national and provincial level. In all the years I've sat in this committee, I haven't heard that particular analysis once. And we intuitively, before your tenure, say, for example, your colleague, Charles Gomede, when he chaired this committee, I remember once one of our reports to Parliament was that the committee felt that the department was underfunded. And we based that recommendation, which was supported by all parties on the committee, clearly on a comparison between us and Australia, and then on the level of or percentage of the GDP that was expended on tourism between us and South American countries. So we've never really had a proper study on this and proper briefing and advice. So if possible, we could squeeze in someone maybe in the next 9 months just to give us some pointers. I really think that will help our discussions because, as I said, it's something which the committee in the 15 years that I've been here has never once done. And everybody would benefit from that. It's a great area, and the more we start shining some light into that and becoming fascinated to have a discussion and debate on facts, I think it would greatly help us.
Thank you. I'll comment on that one, right? We've had
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just one aspect of the proposed program. I would like us to look at the issue of the provincial oversight, in particular Free State. Well, it's my thinking that Free State is not a feasible province to be driving and attending to in winter, because this oversight is proposed in the middle of winter. We might just get ourselves stuck between the cold and snow somewhere, because we'll be doing a lot of driving. So could we just maybe propose another province? I'm talking based on this on a previous experience. You know, we were caught in some situation in the streets during winter. We could not move out because there was some snow and roads were closed, the roads were slippery. Looking at our life, also, we were very young. So I'm just proposing in good faith just another province, and then this one can visit the state in summer when everything is okay.
Yes, Chairperson, just to finish my honourable colleague's proposal. Coastal provinces are warmer in winter. The Eastern Cape is competing for last place for tourism nation. For last place for the Northern Cape. It's the most diverse natural product offering of most provinces in the country other than Mpumalanga and KZN. And I think that there's something happening, there's something wrong in the Eastern Cape, for the Eastern Cape to be performing so badly on domestic and foreign arrival statistics, the statistics that are available to us. And I think there's some oversight that needs to be done on East Cape Parks and Tourism Agency and any other entity or issue regarding tourism, particularly heritage tourism as well in the Eastern Cape, which is being marketed but is underdeveloped. So it's a prediction. I know I'm biased, but it's just for consideration.
Okay. Mine is here on the first two subjects, the visits to the provinces. I concur with my colleagues. and I would have loved the officials to identify, they should have identified possible sites of residence so that the community can decide on where to go. That's the first one. The second one is June. September is tourism month. And by now, we should have known through the Department of Tourism. There's a national event for the season. I think it would be just right for us as a tourism committee to have a visit where the official launch of the month would be. And at this stage, I get the impression that there wasn't a venue established yet. I get the impression. And then she, I'll stop with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the input. It was quite useful. You can find out on our behalf where does the department think the tourism month event will be held, so that. The event is at Limpopo. The date is not yet known. And the minister will launch in August, subject to where the parliamentary program is taking us. Around the issue of econometrics, I think we can, at this moment, ask Pongi to look into that, because she's very good into looking into those matters. But not all, only Australia, maybe also look at one of the continental countries, so that we are able to compare. And then, Free State Media is very good. Maybe, let's think of another province. Maybe Eastern Cape, as the Eastern Cape Honourable Members have somehow, with a target in cheek, lobbying. If the cheek has lobbied for the Eastern Cape. So maybe, let's look into that, if I can ask the officials to look into which day it would be. I mean, which of the provinces, because I think we still have got some time. I won't go before Pumala or KwaZulu-Natal. I just leave it at that. Alright. I think that we are done with the program. It's going to be sanitized and it will be brought back to the committee to look at. Yes. I'm sorry. Why I said on your proposal? I said we should look into it first. Then we can check with the department. Okay. When we've got some information that has been received. So I'm not sure whether that does not cover. But then,
just to come to the very same issue on the econometrics and the economic around the funding of the department and how optimally can the funding be used to our advantage. I would want to just second this proposal, that it should not just be confined to getting a person that with the knowledge coming to the committee. It should be sort of a workshop based on how the information is collected and how best other countries and departments have been able to get the correct funding model for tourism and use it to their advantage. I think it will assist us a lot as people who are just coming into the country for the first time, because really it's best for you to argue and speak from an informed position, either than just thinking maybe this is not enough, or maybe it's enough. I'm saying this because we've seen how Tourism South Africa, through their budget, just mentioned that they're using their budget optimally, but they would want to get more. But we have not yet gotten tangible results to say this budget is actually, its output is measured in this way. So I'm just thinking that it really, I support that proposal.
Thank you. The proposal has been supported. Then for you, let's give you the assignment to do. Then we'll broaden it. But
I'll request that for the sake of programming, because we'll have to submit to the house share program to settle on the province that we are substituting for the state, which is the proposal. I think we can settle for SMK, even though Nara Winfield, they called the province so far, has been SMK, and that is not has fallen. But I think we can settle for SMK for the sake of programming, so that when we have to submit internally, we don't have to wait for members. And secondly, when the department and SAT come for their set and fourth order reports, I request that you also include the first order report for this current quarter, because we have just been informed that Parliament finalized their first plan and their APP, and all 33 committees of Parliament are requested to do their quarterly reports in each order, and that has serious audit implications. So I request that when they come for that date and court quarter report, they also include the first quarter of 2016.
Can you dispose of the program? Thank you. I would like to wake up the people that have just come in. I'm not sure where they're from. They're from the office of the SP. Yeah, from? Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, we look into the report on the budget vote. But before we start on the report of the budget vote, I'd like to make a comment. I think our budget debate was very good, and I'm proposing to the open committee that we would like all the inputs to be brought together and be compiled, so that each year after the debate we've got our debates compiled. One for the legacy report, two for us to look at them at the end to see how far we've got. And are we improving each year, or there is no improvement? And we can also propose for the forthcoming term how best they can also make it better. So that's just a proposal to all the members of the committee. But bilaterals have shown that people are prepared to support that. So I'm going to the committee members before we adopt this minute.
Honourable Mashenge, Honourable Adam.
Thank you. I want to second the proposal that you've made, because I think it will be interesting and a bit of a memorabilia if we can actually start putting our legacy program for the committee, and then perhaps at the end of the term we are able to have a sort of legacy book where we will be having all our different speeches which we did for the budget, also to include that we can even include some of the questions they went through the house. Maybe the persons that were asked the minister and the department. Well, that one is still, it can be limited to discussion, because I think some others would have more questions, because they just throw in questions there. But the proposal to put in all our debates together and have a legacy, what you call, booklet or something would be interesting and it's a supported
Thank you. Honorable Adam?
Mr. Chairperson, I would like to endorse that. For me, it would be a measure of a yardstick to see which of the proposals were were accepted by the department. And in that way, we could see what our contributions were over the time for tourism. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Homburg, is that not innovative from this, being innovative from this committee, having been here for almost 20 years in this committee?
I recommend you for a promotion.
Let's look at this minute. And we're doing the report last. Let's look at the minute of this session. Let's look at the minutes of the 29th. That's not straightforward, but let's re-look at them and adopt.
The committee will recall that meeting was a very short meeting of the committee, because the purpose was just to consider and draft and adopt the committee report on budget. So members would look at the attendance who was there and then with the report there were just some one or two adjustments that were proposed by the committee that we should insert in the final report of the report. So we've done that, and we submitted the report, and the report was 86, I think on the 4th of May, if I'm correct. Then on the announcement, it was up on the debate's vote, which was supposed to be on the 14th, and also because of the Mindaba, where the committee said they will go, but the only issue at that time in that meeting, we didn't have an official invitation from the minister. So the invitation came after, later on, and then we also attended to that as well. So briefly, that was the teacher for that meeting.
Any proposals or adoption? This was a short, almost lunchtime meeting, the way it was short.
Madam Chair, I propose that we adopt the meeting in a true reflection of what transpired in the committee.
The next one, the 1st of June, which was last week. Have you done as many reports to that one? Or we can put it with somebody?
Have we to go over it page by page, or the member that managed to do three? All right, let's go through it page by page. Page number one. Can we move to page
Number six. And the last page.
I don't know whether it would be the meeting agenda just after the lunch, but I think the 14th today is not correct because I remember when I left it was just 1 o'clock. So I would think maybe. I'm thinking maybe it is. We just went through the lunch after. Yes.
Any proposal for
the
somebody move proposed adoption? A mover? Honorable Crumble, seconded by Honorable Matthew. Thank you very much. In Daba, we had a problem of a very late invitation when other members were already committed. Hence, it was not the whole committee that was there, because the invitation was sent very late, but it took place, and those that were there, I hope they looked over this report, or let everybody look at the last report, and we'll look into it next week. Thank you very much. For the there were members from the department at AXA. I'm sorry, at the airport. I'm sure you got the report from them. I'm talking to the members coming from the department.
I want to make
a proposal for next week's meeting. Looking at the proposed program for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm told the house might go up until very late. So I don't know whether it would be feasible for us to look into the issue of our meeting on the Friday, or what else.
It will go up to nearly 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. because we do do that. We didn't go that, will the Thursday one go that late? Let's say we communicate. We'll really communicate because the house has a tendency of finishing quite late. That is the reason. But it's neither here nor there. Several members, thank you very much.
I think you can't do the business that you have to do with the issues that you have unless there are some issues.
Some of the things we don't control, for instance, this we got there today. And I'm sure most people spend an hour looking at it last night. If not, we look at, we listen to what it being said. Thanks.
the handout?
The box is. Can I read it? Thank you.
The tea is still quite warm. If people want to grab a cup of tea, but it's waiting tea time. It's beautiful. So this is that why.
Honourable members and our guests, thank you very much. This committee is quite populated this morning. We appreciate the population. I am Jesus Ngobo, I am chairing this committee, and I ask the members of the portfolio committee to introduce themselves. But on my right is Musuko Kuzwayo, the content advisor of the committee. On my left is Jerry Boltina, the secretary of the committee. The rest of the members will introduce themselves. Then, SA, led by the SG,
executive secretary in general, South African secretary in general, will introduce the members. We've got visitors from Northwest Department of Tourism, led by Honorable Chauke. He'll introduce them. The members of the department will introduce themselves, and our other guests will introduce themselves, then we'll get into the measure. I'm sure everybody is very interested in statistics and wants to know about statistics. But in this committee, we want to know about statistics with regards to tourism. I've introduced myself and people on my right and the left. Honorable.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lucy Zomakubela Mashele. I'm a member of this Western Committee, a member of the National Assembly, and I'm from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Patricia Adams, and I'm from the Northern Cape.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg Crumbach. I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Committee. I'm from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Andrew Whitfield. I'm from the beautiful province of the Eastern Cape, and I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone in the House. I am Thembala Mthaiko. I'm deployed by the African National Congress to the National Assembly, and I'm a member of this committee. I hail from the same case. Thanks.
Betty.
My name is Romani Chauke. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism in the Northwest Provincial Legislature. With me, the committee support Palisa Lusabe, together with Karabo Mahakhan. Both of them are the support staff. Because we have developed an interest to want to know what's happening with tourism in the country. So we felt that it must not be an island there in the corner. It's important that we must follow the national trend and get to know from all the developments as they happen, even in the current situation. But I think it could build the relationship between the province and the National Assembly Committee. Thank you very much.
Before you enter, I'll ask, there is one member of the support staff at the back, the department, and then yourself, and you present.
I'm the committee assistant in this committee. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kim Kim Julie. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer for the Director General of the...
Good morning, everyone. My name is Shama Natu. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Minister's Office.
Good morning. My name is Lilang Bonde Matisse from the National Department of Tourism.
Morning. My name is Nkubela Kulwane. I'm from the National Department of Tourism.
Good morning. My name is Bashi Mutea. I'm from South African Tourism.
Good morning, I'm Madonna Sitwaba. I'm with the Department of Tourism.
Good morning, I'm Nayasli Peterson. I'm the Secretary of the West.
Morning, everyone. Ismail Hussain from PNG.
I'm Kobogana from the ABC Radio News.
I'm Bob Pika from the local intrapreneur from Kukulet.
And the VP,
during the year, we did a few community statistics. We also use the Southside Life of joining the statistics. If you have to say, if you need folks, then she's doing well.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm handing over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate that we got an invitation from this forecast body. And we think we will be able to respond to some of the questions and obviously there will be the challenges in this environment. And we do cover some of the challenges. We also understand the context at the moment, especially in the media and of course the discussions that are going on, in particular in relation to home affairs and the new laws and that. And the prospective implications that are could get in there. We will not touch on that, but we will have to confine ourselves to the study. In the outline of this presentation, we will spend a bit of time on dealing with concepts and the definitions so that we at least proceed from the same basis in terms of what is our understanding of this particular industry and how we navigate it in the complex form. So we will remind ourselves who the authority is and then what the tourism statistics are, in particular the separate account, domestic tourism and international tourism, and then we'll come up with some results, including the results that we released yesterday. We'll shift gear a bit because by yesterday we couldn't send you the document because we had just written the results and the usual embargo. So let me spend a bit of time on tourism. We start off with the traveler. For you to call, you have to travel. So let's look at a traveler and the concepts that we use are based on the United Nations and tourism organization. And the traveler is someone who moves between different geographic locations, between two geographic locations. And of course, with the distance that I'm traveling to, let me listen to the policy of that. Radius as the definition. And then of course to travel you are either you are a visitor as well. And that's the only person that came to the table homes or your environment for less than 12 months. So there is once you are more than 12 months you mean that you are a resident of that environment, but for less than 12 months less than that. And then we've got saying the visitors who go in and out like have just come in Cape Town and living and paying the visit and then overnight visitor, which by implication the tourist is the visitor who stays at least one night in collective or private accommodation in the place that they are visiting. And then of course tourism GOP the several other things, activities of persons traveling, which is paying for the transport, paying for the hotel, paying for the food, etc., and the leisure as vacation ID. But for more than one consecutive year, so it should be less than a consecutive year. And then, of course, there is something a trip, so arrival is quite complicated before into an environment. So all these are important definitions in order to engage the measurement process. So there are those national issues which include the statistical. So we try to define this so that we can narrow into what we will call a statistical unit that we will measure across time. And then as it is associated with that, what we define as a statistical unit. In this instance, an individual would be a statistical unit. And then the attributes, the information, what that individual does, where they are. Continuing on concept, where we have people who are South African citizens, people who are non-South African citizens, and then of course we have permanent residents, and all that rubric of community is defined differently. And then of course the foreign traveler would be somebody who is not a South African resident, who travels. And then of course we talk about geographic location, which is find that as a country, and then of course the region, which is the southern region, or the continental region, such as the continent itself. And then of course there are subregions such as South America, and then of course the continent which includes all the regions, SADC, COMESA, and ECOWAS. And then of course the third region which is between countries and other African or non-SADC countries, East and South. So now, as I said, I'm sure we will spend a bit of time on definitions before we actually get into the data itself. So that we probably are on the same now, the guidelines that are prescribed by the United Nations World Coordinating Organization, they have a recommended methodological framework, and this has been adopted by the United Nations Statistics Commission, which we attend annually, and the review methodology on a whole range of things. But as you said, Madam Chair, you said today we are talking about existence. Those methods are regarding tourism. And then of course we've got the national tourism statistics, and we said we have adopted that standard. And then of course there are provincial tourism accounts. And the problem here is that subnationally there are no guidelines. So we have to look at the national guidelines, or rather the global standard, and say how does this global standard articulate the country get implemented at a sub-national level. And then of course, as he said, there is the Indo which provides us with making play now in GT, where we have to deal with this concept at a sub-national level. And we have essentially this document to provincial authorities to try and engage it so that we can emerge with a standard that fits both global and national. Now, having dealt with these concepts and definitions and what are the kind of we need to talk about how do we actually now acquire the information. The main source of information is from the Department of Home Affairs. And then, of course, every 2 months, for instance, the data that we released yesterday, we said for February data, so in 2 months we have tourism statistics. Then there is information comes in text format, and then, of course, we have to change anything to transform it into numerics that we can actually count. And there is arrival and departure for our travelers. Now, what the counting rule here is that you have to appreciate an individual. And the counting rule is the instances that the person crosses in and out. I know that at one point one of the economists, my first line, said, apply the counting rule wrong. That they look at the transactions across borders and equate those to individuals. And then, of course, there is an upset potential for the super swaggler in doing that. So it is an individual and the number of transactions possibly back and forth and that movement. And the counting rule is about the movement of the individual as it goes in and out of the thing. So now the movement constitutes what? So a movement that is more than one and more than one is what we will count as. And then there are a number of sources, or rather the approaches to this. The first one that we talk about here is one where it's a cultural state kind of study. It relates to the demand side of tourism. And this demand side, the study is about 60,000 dwelling units. Which are, and when you get to dwelling units, with the structure, you may get one or more households. And of course, we have rules of selection when we get to those. And then, of course, these are samples between a quarter, and then we do the count for the quarter. And then it's a continuous collection program. And then, of course, this recall, so the quarterly one that we recall, for the last 3 months, did you, was they able to travel, and did that travel, was that having a choice or whatever. And we run this study is on a continual basis, and I think that would be good quality, and then we get the time to use on that. Of course, there's a big problem, and the key issue here is that particularly for the data that we get for Home Affairs, we have to link the dates of the individual, let's say, entering, and you have to clean this up because the entry of when the person came in and went out, the format is free entry, it's a free format, so it could be 01, 02, 01, or 0000, if you have one copy. So you will not know whether it's the 14th of the month or it's actually 2014 or 2016, so you have to give the format. And then, of course, you will get the quality. There are two main files that use of African travelers, arrival departure, port of entry and mode of travel, and then, of course, the foreign travelers. And then we also get this by tables, why people come, and then, of course, overnight visitors, which is the tourists themselves. Then there is the other side of it, which is the supply side of tourism. Here we are looking at the tourism centralized account, which has 10 tables. What is 10 tables? Like, something that people of younger people know what a 10 table is, but there's a 10 table. I will not go through this in any detail, but the 10 table is a centralized account, so that because tourism is the existence industry, the basic energy, represents itself in many other industries, such as entertainment and everything. So you got to account for in your supply and use table on what is the contribution of tourism in each one of the 10 sectors of industry. So there is the inbound tourism expenditure, domestic tourism expenditure, and then the is non-monetary indicators are produced, and then table 9 is collect cheap consumption, and then of course outbound tourism expenditure, where we look at the balance of payments that we have to South Africa and elsewhere outside South Africa. A schematic of that is the one that I have before you here, which is the what does the satellite account consist of and what does it do based on the current relationship between the number of goods and services that tourism generates on the one hand and then the supply on the other. So we have a matrix of the square matrix of the inputs and outputs that are generated by tourism and that are used by tourism. And of course, you have to allow for value comparison other industries so that the data, the information that you get is harmonized. In the end, that matrix must be equal to a unitary sum that is consistent with the sum of that matrix, which is consistent with the entries in the cells of that matrix itself. So it's very tricky, and that's why we have to spend a bit of time on concepts and definitions. So how is the TSA, the tourism satellite account? So we use the supply and use framework, which is the core of this, which is that much, which is the input output side of things. We are compiled on the demand side, we talk about the household service and person service. And then the supply side is the industry itself, which is the sales and so on and so on. That supply the services, and then the demand side is the people who use the services. And of course, we've spoken about the tables and table 1 to 4, looks at demand side and side data, the South Korean balance of payments, the South African Reserve Bank produces what would be balance of payments and data, which is what do South Africans spend elsewhere outside South Africa and so on. And then, of course, there is South African tourism infrastructure survey, the South African service sorry, the survey, and then of course the SSA use tables for national accounts. And then table 5 uses the supply side of the information. The next table 6 is the internal digital demand and domestic tourism sector. To every come with a coherent set of information, finance, and their cost, looking at the value add of tourism to national accounts and the GDP. Then, of course, the regional tourism several accounts, and again, we want to look at what are the big issues. Current constraints to this concept and definition. The risk of information at lower levels, those are big problems. To get the national figure, but at lower levels, it becomes very big. Yes, the tourism is a very local industry. In terms of resilience, the link in South Africa, I think, 1 year. And then we have to also measure intention. The intention is to stay for 1 year. It's a very nebulous concept. That the intention, yes, all are intentions, but the reality can be different from time to time. And then, of course, the regional concept. And so we said now, if we are looking at traditional, then comes the problem of residents. Now, looking at the tourism, domestic tourism survey, which we talked about, which one level is one done by South African Tourism, the MBK survey, as well as the one done by PPSA, which is a general household survey. We started in 2003, but we had limitations in terms of the house survey collected. And then in 2009, we introduced a domestic tourism survey, which is a specialized tourism survey that focuses on this. And of course, the two surveys are running. We have agreed that in time we formed a task team that looks at this. And in time, we have agreed that by 2017, PPSA will run this domestic tourism survey. We have spoken about the methodological guidelines, which also, I mean, this is a duplicate of the first flight that under the methodological guidelines. And here, I think, so, in the first place, in the introduction, we also gave what the sample of the use and why the data should be collected and so on and then called. Now, comparing the facts to set the thing, this is the table that the comparison, what is the sample, what is the food, and what is the unit of measurement. And of course, there are varying degrees there, 15,000 to 1,300 a month, 3,000 rand for quarterly, continuously, and they're done every quarter. The scope here for such 18 years and above, whereas in the CSA is all categories, information provided by the respondent. So there will be differences in terms of reporting or reports because they are not covering the same scope. The middle of analysis here is based on all things, and then of course this one, the CSA one, is of the most recent sheet, but when you run it quarterly, obviously you will only get the most recent. And in the end, when you add them up, it should give you all things. In terms of methodology continuing there, the core period in both instances is a continuous correction, with 1 month and the other one is 3 months. The content stays 6/96 link, and then of course in terms of our comments, these two settings are harmonized. And then of course there has been a module on international travel that was included in the domestic side, which you undertake any outside fees, and that's where the balance of payment from the South African Reserve Bank gets calculated. And in terms of reporting, we are looking at the harmonization of this, and then by 2018, then servicing you run this service for the nation. Well, schematically, in terms of an image, one could look at how these contacts work. Inbound, that people that are coming to South Africa, outbound, those who are going to South Africa for other places to tour in Mauritius and the like, and then internally, domestic. Then, of course, regionally, when you take the example of Hurricane, people situated in Hurricane that are going for a distance of more than 40 kilometers from the base of above. And this is the one. The report has been talked about where the source is from. Home Affairs, this is collected by the people who are at the port of entry, and these are air-led imports from Home Affairs as the source of information. Now, the results, being now gone all around, that we can talk about what are the results that we have seen. There have been approximately 9.5 million international tourists in South Africa in 2014, and there have been about 64.4 million domestic cases. But it would be a very interesting, if everybody travels, it would mean that if every person in South Africa travels domestically, 64.4 million South African 4 million people, and then 50.8 million domestic overnight. 6 January to December 2018. In terms of what is the contribution of tourism to GDP, having given the thematic of how the tourism internet account is compiled, it hovers around 2.8-2.9% from 2018 and 2018, which is 3 billion, rising to 103 billion. Social tourism directly into GDP has been taken up at 133 billion rand. Contribution to employment, twice as a percentage GOP, that is 4.4. So it has a huge impact in terms of one in every 25 persons who are working work in the tourism industry. Now, the framework that we are talking about, that it has to be a harmonized framework. Here we are providing contributions of value and employment. And you see that the tourism is here, 3% in terms of value GDP, and 4.4% in terms of employment. Community services, 22% and 22%, paid 14% and 21% in terms of employment. So these are industries that produce more employment relative to GDP percentage-wise. And of course, this is what the tourism expenditure is, and then this is the trade balance, and that is what South African inbound tourism minus outbound to the amount of payment in terms of tourism is a positive one, with domestic tourism being around 124, and then total tourism being 218 billion rand. Here, we are just looking at how the international arrivals benchmarked on January 2010 as an index. All the time you have to always index your numbers to an H. That is so that otherwise you have an index number that does not change into account. Changes in the start of the country, you need to. So we index this in 2010. And you can see that the peak that we reached in 2010 is now the peak that we are almost reaching now. Of course, we trap that look at this here in 2014, we can see the trap that the 2010 peak, which was well for us, almost now reached in 2014, 2015. Obviously, for those who are in that peak, who think about that peak sustained. But all we see here in 2015 is this overseas arrival. There is a definite trend that we can see that this trend is now going up. At the same time here you see a decline in terms of foreign arrivals in 2015. The question is, what is causing that? that we understand that well. And then of course, looking at the number of tourists per month and yet we can see the we can see and then since 2014, basically it's higher as we can see here. So there has been an increase in the number of tourists by month if you compare what we have here in 2013 and 2014 compared to 2010 when we get there. And contribution by type of operation as a five-star hotel, 3%, guest house, 6%, and then we have this new category of travel, which is 6%, and then the cover. We have had some challenges in terms of meeting this data. One of the things that I think is that we confront the situation of the big box. Everything will go there down from home affairs and then we start. But a year ago or two, we found a bigger situation where we couldn't get out what we expected out of the city. So we learned from the hard aspects that we can actually do a bypass. So when we do a bypass, it creates its own kind of problem. So we have been operating on a bypass. Having a top of information because the metadata everything is not clear or that is human being. So that is my part. So we are in that stage where we get the data directly from Home Affairs, which is the central thing that we process it doesn't go in Twitter. And the problem is that the rules we have to take because there was this so much necessity for us to continue in that kind of way. Third is regarding the production of drugs in Palestine. Of course, the seeker which has been a weak link in the process, as I said, we have gone with the bypass there. And then, of course, from Roma set itself, there are times when there is no data coming from the logistics of moving this. And I think by modernizing it, in this case, it's been having electronic and instantaneous as people call, and then we will probably get better data. And of course, at times you observe that what has happened to this data, why is this border heading to you in terms, and we have to deal with those before we actually publish. And of course, I've put into the issue of future being a meeting and that bypass that we had. And then, of course, changes in the production method analysis. The arrival of, when you arrive in any destination, usually you'll see an arrival form. Here at home, this thing has been fluctuating. You see it at times, you don't find the form. So that creates a very, very serious problem. And I think we have to think about how we modernize that, so that maybe electronic and the only purpose of arrival to get from when people apply for visa, the others not so much. And then of course the case of how the transit passengers are there, so the general point to make is that changes in legislation, changes in practices, impact on data, very directly. And therefore they have to always be in a memo that can be effective. What are the implications on our information systems, on our data systems? Because most of the time financial implications, communication, but we forget about what are the implications of the time too. And they can be later, and then we can study if you're seeing how they are those time too here. Madam Chair and the Honourable Members, this is the presentation in terms of what was discussed from us. The other presentation surely is about the release that we made yesterday on WWE, that an instance rather than dealing with the issues that are most especially, which I think the presentation has been great. The list of these are honestly just an instance. But I think the presentation was quite performance is the one that we have made. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I now open for questions from the House. Honourable Members, Honourable Kronbock, Honourable Mashele, all of you, including Honourable Members from the Northwest.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are not too many members left, so I'm hoping we might have a second chance for the second round. But can I just take two questions to begin with? The first is on page 12 of the portrait presentation of the landscape one. And it's the statistics which relate to tourism's direct contribution to gross domestic products. Now, what's interesting about that is if you look from 2011 to 2012 and then from 2012 to 2013, there is, roughly speaking, a 12% increase in the rand value. These figures clearly are not adjusted for inflation, so currently looking at around about a real increase of 8%. And bearing that in mind, since that is a much faster growing sector of the economy than any other, I'm puzzled that the contribution as percentage of total GDP actually doesn't rise at all between 2012 and 2013. It remains at 2.9%. And in fact, with only a 0.1% increase between 2011 and 2012. Now, one would expect that since GDP was rising much slower than tourism as a component of GDP, that on a purely arithmetical basis, percentage contribution of tourism would have increased and yet ecstatic, notwithstanding the fact that the growth far outstrips that of the economy in percentage terms. So I'd like that is in general just to clarify that point. And then the second point is the one that is contained on a number of pages in this presentation. And we're all aware that a few years ago the definition of a tourist was changed and that is then go back and revise the figures and actually reach 10 million international tourists. But I wanted a little bit more clarification from MPs about what the more recent methodological changes and definitions are and what effect they might have had on some of the statistics we've been seeing, say, in the last 3 years. Because clearly the changes have not been quite as profound as the definitional change which happened before that. And perhaps the effects of those definitional changes and different methodologies might have masked and you know the change might be a bit more nuanced than what we saw on the obvious change a few years before that. So if I kick off with those two questions, I'd like to answer. Thank you.
I would request that you just note the question so that you respond to all of
this. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Statistician General, for the presentation. Last week, Friday, the committee went to Cape Town International Airport and we did oversight on AXA. AXA did a presentation that revealed that they have some very current and up-to-date data that appears very reliable that could be integrated. And I'm not, the question is really how do you work with AXA? Is there an existing relationship to keep as current as possible on inbound and outbound flights? I know that you can touch on that issue during the presentation. But specifically as it relates to domestic tourism, to two issues, to domestic tourism and foreign arrivals. Domestic tourism in the sense that is the bulk of the funding for the department and South African tourism is focused on promoting domestic tourism in South Africa. So that we need to get as reliable statistics as possible on domestic tourism. And often at a local level, it's difficult to achieve that. So on that domestic tourism issue as well, what kind of support instead they say Ofwat will provide to local municipalities, metros, and to the provinces to assist them. And then with regards to access data relating to foreign arrivals, given the urgency of measuring foreign arrivals and the impact of visa regulations at the moment, is there currently a strategy in place to engage with ACSA to provide the most current and reliable information relating to foreign arrivals so that we don't get caught up in the hysteria, but we have real evidence-based information? Those are the questions that I had relating to ACSA and domestic tourism specifically. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I have a question around the collection of data from the data collected by the South African tourism. The business in general, we've always had issues or reports from South African tourism whereby they are unable to report on some of their causes because of the delay in official statistics, because they cite that they're waiting for official steps from themselves. Now, from your side also, there have been also some delays because you are also waiting for data from Home Affairs. I don't know, how fast can we come in and look at where the gaps are and how we are able to get efficiency in this whole process? Because you wait for, Home Affairs, I believe Home Affairs should have information readily available. Well, they have to report on entry-exit. So it's data that is supposed to be in each and every day when they close the port of entry, they're able to know that these were the movement between the ports of entry. But here we are, South African tourism, and yourself were not able to report in time on statistics and data because of some of the data. Now I don't know how best can you tell us which are the methodologies or what are efficiencies that can come and put into the system so that we are able to get a quality processed and analyzed data that is useful for us. And then secondly, I want to come into the issue of your data collection. You cite the methodology that you use, that you do your household survey and then you've got your samples that you have rightfully put for this period. And then South African tourism would be collecting, they're basing their sample or their collection on about 15,000, whether it's households or it's about 100, you say about 1,300 monthly. But then I want to look at your discrepancies and the reliability of the data that comes in through your two different methodologies. And whether if you can share with us what are other countries benchmarking their data collection methodologies that they use, or that they get reliable and statistics which they can use. I just want you to share with us the decision general. I want to emphasize this part of data not being there on time. Because I believe at times we can just think that it's sometimes a scapegoat. Because definitely you know these ones are going to say we are unable to give you the data because we are waiting for this body. And then they were waiting for the SFSA is waiting for Home Affairs. And then you ask yourself, that Home Affairs should, you know, its data should be there at each and every end of business. So who is the middleman or who's the person that is actually not having efficiency or that is blocking this trail of data processing?
Thank you. On
the
chairperson, let me also welcome the presentation by the statistician general. I normally recognize him by the yellow outfit and whatever. Now it's difficult for me to say this is the real person. Nonetheless, say, bear with us. Let me call you SG. Bear with us in answering our questions on a layman's point of view. But my question would be, starting from the easiest one, you mentioned the fact that there is this that you released yesterday. How quick can we be able to accept that as a committee or as whatever? I was also worried when I saw in your presentation your definition of a traveler and a visitor. And I asked myself, what about our definition of a tourist? But you came closer in your presentation to define a tourist. Why I ask so is because as a country, we are dependent on those statistics to make sure that when we commit ourselves to say tourism is but one sector that contributes more on job creation. But my worry is, at least I can say on your method of collecting stats from the Department of Home Affairs, as you have indicated on the ones entering and the ones going. But I'm worried about what's happening in the domestic tourism, because they are saying they are dependent on surveys and also dependent on numbers. Can we be confident to say your statistics, I don't want to say is correct or whatever, but can we be confident to say what we're saying is what we have begged for? And also the issue of, do you have any engagement on areas of concern between yourself and the very Home Affairs? How difficult it is because we are dependent on you and you are also dependent on Home Affairs. Let me stop there. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Shepard, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity coming from the Northwest to deal with national matters. I feel very much honored that we have this opportunity. Yes. When I'm listening to the presentation by the Secretary General, the question that I was asking myself is, what is the foundation of data, and who are the stakeholders that are supposed to feed into our daily data that inform policy and policy development? Because clearly, without a strong foundation, we will not be able to have informed either policy or full understanding of the impact of tourism in either in our growth, economic growth in the country, and the general movement of people. So for me, I'm trying to have that understanding. Who are these stakeholders? What is the position of a governor? All of these key stakeholders for us to have reliable information. We are sitting here, Chair, part of my coming is of the work that we have been doing in the province around a visit to defend a product in the province, which all of them cited a problem, which one of the areas that will not deal with now, with the current issues of the new policies around the issues of home affairs. We'll not deal with that, but I thought that for us as a new community, by the way, again, is to have the understanding around the policy development, around stats and all of that. And I want the colleagues have been raising this issue, especially what the colleague there, Makubela, was saying is why the volunteers are not there fit into the foundation that has been made. And maybe the general will be able to help us just to have that understanding. Then we can then, maybe agree on the way forward of our role now as public rep. What is it that we're supposed to do? To make sure that those who are responsible, to make sure that the course of entry we have the necessary information, so that whoever that comes in, a feeling, but whatever the form or is one,
So that becomes our role then in China. And then I was saying that as he presents this, he must not shy away to say, but this is what I expect from you members to assist me to arrive at, because steps become very key for the budget allocation, understanding the trends in the country. Unemployment issue is very high. We are sitting at a very high unemployment, and we know that tourism becomes one big key area of job creation and all of that. So it's important that it's well cemented to a point that at the press of a button, we can be able to know who's out, who's going where, and what is it that excites. Because clearly, I think 2010 has made so much positive impact with the steps that the Accountant General has shown us. It has made so much impact, and there's been, you know, a constant build-up, you know, from 2010. And we need to appreciate it outside all of these other, you know, issues that we are dealing with, which are problematic in 2010. But nonetheless, I think it has made an impact, and we need to appreciate that pattern and build from that area. And why are those areas that are still accessible to come to the country? It's important that we have that particular opportunity. On that note, as a newcomer, we have but building the relationship, but then moving forward, we'll be able to work with yourself to guide us at the national level, so that our central province and mentality on the ground are able to have one common understanding of the approach of things. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the input, Statistician General Edgy. Actually, how do you come about getting information and get information on transit visitors, transit passengers, transit travelers, or whatever you want to call them? And there are those, to also tag onto what Honorable Whitfield has stated about the ACSA and what we heard from Cape Town. Is there a possibility of talking to the airlines themselves, like AfriDAS, or are airlines in your database in order to help you to get more information or some relevant information from them? To take on to what Honorable Chauke said, he said they are getting information and what is happening nationally, but I think tourism cut across even municipalities. Is there anything that you can tell us around municipalities and tourism? We'll pause there for now and wait for responses. I'm sure there'll be a second question or time for Honorable Members to ask.
Honorable Members, Madam Chair, yes, Mr. George Bier, we'll take questions, or rather we'll answer, we'll share the answer of questions. But let me start with the last question, but before I start, let me say to Honorable Sovita that I saw the more neutral color, the yellow was playing in the political arena. That's not political for me. But I haven't seen one that has a gray color, so I thought that was a good color.
We only worry if we were ready, we don't have
to. That was the last question. I think get to the fundamentals of what are the foundational systems for our own data systems. We are governed by legislation which serves us to some extent as we build. But I think it's in dire need for reform, and we have engaged now a process of statistical reform. It depends on a cooperative governance, which is just in it goodwill and a lot of goodwill, a lot of voluntarism, low impact for non-compliance and so on. So I think in the right legislation that we propose, that there has to be compliance and consequences for non-compliance, because that's what we need for our issues. But it would have been difficult to implement this unless we have a fairly strong institution that shows that it can be worked. So I think that over the past number of years, we have been building towards that. And I think that we are in a stage now that
the legislation is also changed dramatically to personal needs. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that we should actually pick on. The after example that the Honorable Bloomberg mentioned, that there are already data sets that are there generated electronically that they pass up. The long route, of course, it is necessary. For moment, it's important because it gives us a total picture of those who come by air, who come by road, who come by sea. But I think when the strategy must be a little bit differentiated because the value of different different. So, for purposes of the business of tourism, the differentiated strategy to be engaged and which informs well in time on the changes that are okay. So we need to do that. That modernization is very important. So on the foundational factors, we are revising the legislation to ensure that there is the element of compliance. But that has to be accompanied by a process of modernization, and we are talking with the Department of Tourism on this one. That, as well as Home Affairs, in fact, a number of years indeed, but why shouldn't with machine readable platform not associate efforts included in the when it's personalized, and then you can get some sense of good data as to where the person is going to stay, how long they intend to stay, and so on and so on. All those things are things that I think the modernization process that is not very heavy on the district as well in terms of writing the bigger down. So let me not use that sort of study the passage of Honorable Kuhnberg on the General Joe, your take on that one. But I suppose that the one on why tourism is not showing this effect in the challenges is more, might be the effect. But coming to the question by one of the on the value chain, how are these systems organized? Why do we not get data instantaneously when Home Affairs actually every day collects passports that go to it? I think here, it should be possible probably to get daily reports on who has crossed and so on. But one is trying to check whether what we see is real or is a consequence of the behavior fluctuates on a daily basis. But we need statistics that are curated for that human behavior that today they need for the next response. And the last one, I don't care there. But I think the electronic system, that human behavior element, can actually be excluded. And with machine readable, human behavior element should be eliminated. But I think there are systems that are going to the future who are inhibiting us. And we are looking at whether the bypass shouldn't be the standard way of being. And why are there the delays? I think the CETA situation is the one that created a lot of delays on our part. We have resolved it, and we now need to put a durable platform that is based on the bypass that we have. But we really have to take advantage of the electronic systems that exist. But we also have to introduce more systematically the landing forms, the arrival forms. These forms used to be there, they disappear, they are there, they disappear, and between the failure from myself, I don't think we are tasked as the country. But when we reintroduce them, and I'm talking to my colleague up there, but when we reintroduce them, we have to reintroduce them in a way that they are not safe. So we don't need to rush the introduction. We need to really get to talk to the people at the borders, the Home Affairs officials, including the customs official, because the form has to do more with the customs type rather than the one. It also has to talk to the country, and that form's no longer there. So the two lending forms, which is the customs one and the one, it's no longer there when you come in, when you come into the country. So we have to have a systematized way of doing that. The question of how soon can we get the data, we usually post it on the web, and it's available right away every time the data are there. But we also, at times, depending on how we think, how important the data is, we actually try to help it by taking a media presentation and so that we highlight some of the key elements in the data coming through the data. Regarding domestic tourism, short of a household survey, it's very tricky to get to know who is a tourist and so on. From the supply side, hotels have records. And I think we need a system to which you can harvest that information from hotels. Obviously, we do have a run service portal for the supply side. But I think for growing sectors and smaller, like I would say, thousands and so on, you have to have a uniform system, a uniform program that is taking a particular goal so that the statistics can be harvested easily. And that can give you local area data, number of persons, those who stay in those establishments and their facilities. Compromising that can be much easier now, the technology is needed and all that. And we just have to look at how the laws may have to be galvanized to ensure that is done. And in this case, seeing ourselves know that the data already at any given point in time. Now, harvesting that data, analyzing it, and providing it industry, I think it's the direction we should be moving. And a more regular, like months. So there is a lot of innovation that's now currently possible. I think it's a matter of the current condition of the legislation. We should look at sectors and how those sectors we can make the necessary changes. I think that touches on reliable statistics on domestic tourism. We really can get it from the operators themselves. And then, of course, supplementing every household survey from whom calls and the characteristics of the people who saw from households, so that the marketing strategy can be formed from the demand side. Information on NASA certainly blew any proof. The law already allows us to have the information. But because we have to report it nationally from all courses, I think that's more or less the limitation that we have. But certainly, in terms of that intelligence in those cases, it should be possible to work on that and need a low any proof. So,
thank you, Honorable Day. I would just like to make a few points and present delay directly to specific questions, but touch on a couple of them. The first is about the interpretation of the contribution of the TSA. It shows the sector contributing over time broadly 3%, whether it's 2.9, 3.1, 3.0, it fluctuates around 3. But yet we see reports quite often that quotes a contribution of maybe 8 or 10% of the sector. And uninformed users might be confused about the two sets of numbers, with the differential being whether it is a direct
or the indirect or the combination of them that is reported on. So I think it's important for us to remember that the DSA is primarily designed to measure only the direct effect on the economy and not indirect ones. Therefore, it's quite difficult to sometimes interpret the quotation of tourism contributing 8 or 10%, because in essence an indirect contribution of tourism is compared to other industries that only have a direct contribution, so you're not really comparing like with like in those comparisons of that. The honourable member is quite right, the numbers are in nominal terms, they're not affected. It is not a wise practice to price inflate the TA. It's quite tricky to decide what your price inflation should be, given the different variables that constitute the TSA. The stableness, if I can call it that way, of the 2.9% is purely based on the small size that the tourism sector has in nominal terms. If we compare the construction sector, since the late 90s to the early turn of the century, it compared about 2.5% to the economy. And it took 5 years of double-digit growth. That's in real terms, not in nominal terms. The tourism, the construction sector leading up to the Soccer World Cup grew at 9%, 11%, 30% in real terms for 4 or 5 years. And that only moved the construction sector from 2.5% to 3%. So if you have a relatively small industry, it must really, really outperform the other large industries that maybe contribute 15 or 20% to the economy, make a meaningful change in its relative size to the others. One might be disheartened if one looks at the tourism sector contribution and say, despite all the policy interventions, we're still seeing a 2.9 and a 2.9, so we're not seeing something happen. But a different way of expressing those numbers would have been, as the honourable member said, was to compare the annual growth rate. And you do get the 12% and the 10% as you have calculated. If you're going to display that with a, let's just say, say, CPI, all items for argument's sake, it will give you a real growth of maybe 5 or 6%, which is very strong for the tourism sector in the recent past. In the recent past, the economy has been struggling to go above 1.5% and has managed to get, let's just say, 5%. So it is doing really well, but because it's small, you don't see it in terms of the relative size of the contribution. So my first point is just a bit about the interpretation of the numbers. The issue is touched on the AXA numbers, and I agree it is always good to have another data set that triangulates. But it leads me to the question of what we would like to call big data. And in official statistics, the use of big data is quite a new field that has opened up for official statistics. And it is mostly used for trends because pinpoint data might not be accurate enough. But I mean, we've dealt a little bit with big data in terms of the estimation of the consumer price index. You can imagine the transaction data you had at the exchange stores. Pick and pay each time they scan a product, you basically have a price point, a transaction point that has just happened, and rather than that, they're going to send a pick and pay to go and price it, not being, why not just get these millions of transactions that happened in a month, you have electronic, you can get a CPI for the day, you can compare that, all the prices with the previous day. Now, it's not unfortunately as easy as that sounds, but it opens up the whole debate in official statistics on how do we use big data. The same way, if we equate the scanner data in pick and pay to your passport being scanned, in an ideal world, you will then be able to know the age of the people that traveled, the time of day that they traveled, so many other variables that you'll be able to harvest from the isolators you'll never get from a survey reliably. So it is definitely a good opportunity for official statistics, but it is very early days for official statistics to get involved with the data. The other point I would like to make is that it's important to realize that tourism is a demand-side phenomenon and not a supply-side one. What I'm trying to say with that is, on the supply side, we measure services sold, for example, by a restaurant. But if we don't know who demanded the service, we don't know if it was sold to a tourist or not. So you must really put the emphasis on the demand side of the equation. The TSA balances it, does it annually. But if we want to know what's happening on a lower level of the geography, my view is that we should keep pushing rather for tourism indicators rather than trying to develop full sets of TSA or tourism economic accounts or whatever the the methodology will end up being. But lastly, I think it's important for everybody that has an interest in tourism statistics to make sure they participate in the global process that's undergoing at the moment, to try to give comments to the way the UNWTO manuals will be developed for subnational tourism statistics. The last thing we want is to sit by and let other countries decide this is the national way that we're going to measure tourism on a subnational level. Because at that SA, we're obliged to follow the international frameworks and guidelines, but if that is not what the country wants, then we're going to follow the guidelines and not give the statistics that our users would want to seek, because we won't, it won't be an easy thing for us to say we're not going to follow the international guidelines and do only what the users want. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been joined by Honorable Foss, who's just arrived. And Honorable Foss, we've had an input from the Statistician General on statistics. And now we're going to have a second round of questions, if there are any. Honorable Foss, you tell me, filled Honorable Kronborg. You can throw in whatever, Honorable Foss. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We note the answer from the presenters. But there's one thing that concerns me. I'm not sure whether it's relevant to us here, but let me attempt to. Chairperson, there's a general outcry, or let me say perception, that the industry, the tourism industry, is taking advantage of people who are, I may call, non-South African and practicing cheap labor practices there in the industry. I just want to check if the system does go deeper so that they can also report on issues like that, because it's been a general outcry that some cheap labor practices are happening in the tourism industry, and we are dependent on Statistics South Africa to know whether or not that is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's more a follow-up and perhaps just to refine the question. It may not have been answered because it's maybe not the mandate of StatsSA. So let me put a question like this. Has StatsSA been approached by either Home Affairs or Department of Tourism to conduct or to maintain a current review of foreign arrival figures in view of the visa regulation, so that we are able to stay on top of what the numbers are, who's coming in, who's not able to come in, so that we as the committee have an informed position on what the accurate numbers are. So really, if there's a strategy in place, either from Home Affairs or the Department of Tourism, or if there's a conversation happening between StatsSA and those relevant departments to measure, I don't know how frequently to measure it on a daily or weekly basis, so that we can really understand the impact of those visa regulations. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Just a question on the FIFA World Cup of 2010 and its effect on tourism in this country. The interesting thing about the graph is that the big spike tax place in the summer is normally a trough. So it was counter-cyclical, if you can put it that way. But the point about any country hosting any FIFA World Cup, and the reason why a country wants it so badly is that they see it as an opportunity to rebrand their country to the world. In any country where tourism is a factor, they want to, in a sense, prove that their country is a very good destination for tourism, both in terms of safety and value for money and experiences, which I think we did achieve in 2010. We achieved all those three objectives. If you look at Germany in 2006, they had a slogan which was time to make friends. That was their marketing strategy and marketing slogan for the World Cup, to try to overcome the image of the average German as being a bit sort of distant and dour and maybe not that friendly to tourists. And that's actually very well for a number of factors. And they didn't just get a spike in 2006 because of the World Cup. They had an ongoing and sustained increase in tourism after that. They were in fact presented to us in 2010, I think, when we had a presentation to this committee about what the tourism objective of hosting World Cup would be. And I'm wondering if the Statistician General could tell us whether in fact they can measure what the more sustainable increases in tourism have been as a result of June and July 2010. And if so, what is the actual percentage of our tourists that are still coming in 5 years after the fact due to the positive branding that we did achieve in 2010? Because I think that might take some of the uncertainty out of hosting any mega event and give us a better idea of the long-term economic effects such as MAB, and whether in fact that can justify the initial cost of hosting such a mega event in the first place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and once again, thank you for explaining the reason for my apology for being late. So I don't want to delay the meeting unnecessarily, but I just want to focus on two issues, and if it was explained, I'll follow the meeting notes, but perhaps if the gentleman could just give me a snapshot. Because my two areas of interest would be on the domestic tourism figures, because we've seen in the past cycle there's been a decline, and I've seen the slide here where they say that the South African tourism conducted the domestic tourism survey in 2001, and then there was a domestic tourism survey introduced in 2009. And now as a country that most of our focus will be now to boost our domestic tourism demand, because there's been a decline, that's the issue I want to make. With regards to the statistics that were presented, you were showing that there was a decline. I think it was something like 500,000 over the last year or 2 years, or year on year. And we've indicated as a committee that there needs to be a differentiation between a traveller and a tourist. And we know that there are serious obstacles preventing South Africans to travel to extensive, limited geographic spread, etc. But what is your department doing specifically to focus on collecting data at local level? Because that is one of the issues that I'm very interested in, because we want to push more domestic travellers to our rural areas. Because we know that most of our cities receive their fair share of tourists because of all their major attractions, accessibility, etc. But our focus needs to shift to the rural areas, and there's a big demand there in terms of boosting domestic tourism to assist those struggling municipalities and small towns in terms of reviving their economies. So how would we be able to collect data from the municipalities or from towns? Then on the international side of things, my colleague did raise the issue with regards to calculating the real impact that these visa regulations are having on our economy and on international tourist arrivals. We had a visit to Cape Town International Airport last Friday, and the Access staff indicated that they assisted two people since the 1st of June, but there were many more that they assisted. Now, they couldn't give us an accurate figure in terms of how many more they did assist. But does that not have an impact on the collection of accurate data? Because if I look at Tourism Business Council of South Africa, they always produce accurate, or they produce informational statistics in terms of projected revenue losses and etc., foreign arrival decreases. Is there any coordination in terms of the way that they collect their data with the methodology that you are using? Because, for example, I often use the example that tourism contributes 9% to GDP. And today, I've been told that it's only 2.9% because we have to differentiate between direct and indirect. And obviously, politicians would like to use the inflated figures, because I often use the example that tourism creates more jobs than the automotive and mining industry combined. But then you have to once again differentiate between direct employment and indirect employment. But it's so important for us to get the correct data so that we know where to push our resources to. Because we want to push more funding and resources towards boosting domestic tourism. But then we need to know what are the statistics generated from local level, so that we know that those are the towns or the municipalities or provinces that we need to focus on.
because it's important for us to know exactly where to send our resources to in terms of our domestic tourism strategy. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. My point about funding lies dealing with a direct contribution on the GDP. I just want to add that we have an understanding on the figures. That millions of these videos, because I see that the 103 average 7 million, this is just part of the final fact. But all what I can see now, Chair, is that it is clear that some local things that the foundation is not much good. And obviously, my point will just be to encourage you and the committee chair to assist in the process of helping raise this foundation. Perhaps you will be able to get accurate information. Thank you.
Thank you for the contributions of the members, but I got a few things to follow up or to ask. How soon will the process of developing tourism economic accounts at local level be finalized? And then there's the New Tourism Act, which makes a voluntary system of acquiring information from the industry. How can SSA ensure that data are inherited from the hotel? Yes, you said you have a data from the hotels, but is it possible to actually be informed of where those people come from, you know, so that you know who comes here as a visitor, who comes as a tourist, or approximately. Would it be possible in the review of the SSA Act to compel the role players to provide adequate information so that you are able to share that information with the country? How does economic classification of tourism affect the size of the tourism industry, thus contributing to the GDP? And then, finally, how far is the process of determining tourism indicators going between SSA, SAT, and provincial tourism authorities? And actually, if I can also add, the chairperson of tourism in the Northwest province stated that it's a new development and it is very active. It has got a minister who is really, really very active and prepared to do the work very well. And that's one province I'm going to be visiting during the Hawaii period. Okay. SG?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question on how do we know that we are reaping benefits of the World Cup? Indeed, we look at the slide there. The post-World Cup, there was a very serious dip in the numbers. I haven't said, the German figures and know whether there was a similar leap post-World Cup or but there was somewhat a sustained leap between 2010 and 2011. But there has been some recovery at the point where we see that by 2014, 2015 these numbers were on the rise. And by 2015 we see a very major leap. I think that what one would be worried about is why there is this deep civil community. It looks quite abnormal relative to the trend that we are observing from 2011 deep, there was an up. And it is divergent from what we see domestically. So it suggests that there are other factors other than the ones that have stimulated tourism across both domestic and international. It looks like there are factors that have split the domestic from the
from the forest. So they come in that aggregated growth of tourism. I think that there should be still be possible to study that, either by investigating and inquiring from industry and then by putting the relevant and appropriate questions in that to see where it should have been or how it should have been given the 2010 Cup or any other examples that make South Africa marketed. We have to go back and see what that could be done and come back and fix it. And then process it through our budgeting cycles and see whether the study that is possible. So we should come back and see ourselves on that question. As we tackle the domestic tourism, the question by Honorable Paul. I will try and tackle the second question on tourism as an industry that practices maybe practicing bad, maybe having bad labor practices, slave wages. I think that we can pick the numbers from our current labor force study on what are the levels of pay by sector. We do have that kind of information. Although tourism as a sector itself is a little tricky, and I don't know whether from the supplier and use tables and so we are able to get to tourism itself. So it falls under the retail and so you have to look at the entire industry in terms of how we pay the information that can provide us on that. Joe, would you like to take the rest of it? Thank you,
Fadi, I'm disappointed you're not so well equipped to talk on domestic tourism as what you might like me to be on this. So I think the bit I would be able to do is to take the concern from Honourable Force to my colleagues that are directly involved with the survey and see how we can answer the question today. I would, however, want to make a comment relating to the impact of the World Cup, more in our domain. The total impact is something that has to be modelled, which is not our area of expertise. Modelers will also have varying views on what assumptions they want to make, depending on if they're very optimistic about it or not. But something that we can concretely show from official numbers is that the average growth of the economy over the last 20 years is 3.2%. But the period of 2004 to 2007, the economy was at 5.3%, which is significantly higher, 2 percentage points, roughly. And that was the benefit that the economy achieved because of the preparations for the World Cup. It might not be that on the graph you will see 2010 now has a huge number, because that's when actually event happened. Sure, that's been the tour of the year, and you see it nice on the country graph, and the hotels were full. But a lot of the boost to the economy happened with the construction of airports, Gautrain, new hotels being built, freeways, all these types of things. And that happened in the years leading up to it. The worst thing that happened to the African economy was the timing of the recession that we had, because we had the 4 years of growth averaging more than 5 years. 2008 was still starting to go well, and then the warning bell started singing, and we started getting negative growth in 8-9, and since then it's been a struggle to recover out of the economic growth. So I don't want to say what if, but if the recession happened a year, 2 years later, how would the economy have looked if we managed to sustain the 5.3% average also in 08, maybe in 09, and then you should take it off with the World Cup. But I think the short answer is we mustn't lose track of the impact that the tourism had on the economy pre-World Cup, and not just look at the 2010 actual number. Thank you.
I would like to say what is our takeout of the discussion. I think that the factual discussions are important. Tourism as a sector, and I think an engagement of that nature looking at other factors, for instance, what are the engines of growth and what has happened in the one and the other. I think it's an important discussion, and I don't know whether there is a framework that facilitates that. I suppose, yes, SNP, you are watching that and looking at this. But I think in the absence of people with the real numbers, providing them in a way that facilitates that discussion, it becomes difficult. So I think it might be wise, and we are probably providing that framework now, to look at something like this and say, well, community services provide 22% of employment and they contribute 15% in GDP. Maybe that's where the investment should be. But is it the real economy? Probably not. We have to look at the real economy in the manufacturing and therefore. So that kind of discussion supported by real data with, say, the people who produce it like ourselves may help to shed light where it has to be shared. I think that would be my input.
Members, we've heard quite a lot, but I think we still need more information, and actually I hope your office will be open for whatever questions that you may just send to others, and if they could respond to, because I'm sure after this meeting, the members may just think of other things, which it would be important to channel them to office, and to enlighten us around them, and also to share with the Northwest Province, because they are at this meeting, and that's very important. But we would like to thank you for coming, for the input, and thank you very much, Honourable Members, for your input on this important presentation. And I'm sure it will give us a lot of food for thought to think about statistics, because tourism is all about statistics. Otherwise, if there were no statistics of who comes and who goes, we wouldn't have what you call tourism. But in line with the national broadcast, which was our point of departure as far as tourism is concerned, as being the main job driver, main department that can improve the GDP, and then the NGD came into play and said normal residency, and actually comparing tourism with mining and all of those. So it is important actually to get the real figures and what those real figures amount to as we expect the GDP to grow, and also employment and meaningful employment. But on that happy note, I would like to thank all of you, unless all of the folks who've got something to say, but I would like to thank all of you for having been able to come. And to thank the department for having been here. You heard, you were here. And thank you very much. There's the outside on the way, as everybody is going out there.